Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are glad that you are here this morning. We have a wonderful service planned for us to receive the Lord's gifts, both in word and sacrament today. And this morning, we're going to be talking about power, what the world calls power, and how that really works out for us in our lives of faith. We do welcome those tuned in on the radio this morning as well. Thanks for joining us for our service. Our opening hymn for today is hymn 825, Rise, Shine, You People. And we sing that together. And on the last verse of that hymn, we do invite the congregation to stand at that point on verse 4. Let's begin by singing hymn 825, Rise, Shine, You People.
Thank you.
This morning we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We continue with our introit from Psalm 119 and Psalm 142. Your testimonies are righteous forever. You give me understanding that I may live. Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your just decrees. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. We continue with our Kyrie spoken this morning. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, keep your church in your perpetual mercy. And because without you we cannot but fall, preserve us from all things hurtful and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today comes from the prophet Amos in the 8th chapter of his prophecy. And one of the things about Amos, if you don't know, is it's a book that's full of lots of law towards the people of Israel from the Lord God himself, of course, as they sinned and sinned and sinned against his commands. And here in this text, we get to sort of get a picture of how God feels when not only we sin against him, but when we sin against our neighbor as well, when our actions or words or lack thereof hurt our beloved brothers and sisters. So we begin in verse 4 of Amos chapter 8. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will the new moon be over that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the ephah small and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and sell the chaff of the wheat? The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
At this time, we invite the children to come up for our children's sermon. You guys want to come up? Hey, thanks for coming up. How's everybody doing today?
No.
No.
Bad.
You guys, bad? What do you mean? Oh, you guys are just being silly. Hey, did you guys hear that reading that I just read? Oh, you couldn't quite hear me? You got a new game? That's cool. Oh, well, the reading. Okay. The reading I was just reading from the book of Amos. Can you guys say Amos? Amos, yeah, he's a prophet from the Old Testament. But did you hear? You could? Oh, okay. Well, this part in the reading, it said, hear this. So if you didn't get to hear it, you can hear it now. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just a little. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end. Basically saying, when can we make money off of people? Is the point of the reading. So when he says that, do you think God is happy with people when they treat other people badly?
No.
I don't think so either. I think the reading that we just heard, he sounds kind of upset when we don't love other people and we take advantage of them and treat them badly, right? Does God want us to be unkind or does God want us to be kind? Kind, that's right. Number two, he wants us to be kind. I brought something really cool to show you guys. That has a lot to do with us. This, yeah. This is a sword. Yeah. Tell me something. I've used it in chapel, huh? In the school chapels, yeah. This sword, tell me something about this sword.
It's sharp.
It's sharp. This one's not too sharp because it's more for decoration, but you could sharpen it and it would be very sharp. What is a sword used for?
Fighting.
Swords are used, can be used for bad things, huh? Yeah?
Yeah, breaking windows.
Yeah. Did you know?
It can also be used for good things like killing wild animals.
Oh, yeah.
Stay alive.
Right, protection. Sword can be used for bad things, or a sword can be used for good things. It's pretty intense. Yeah, that would be a bad thing. It can. Sure. It was close. Tell me this sword isn't pretty intimidating. It kind of is, huh? But a sword can be used for bad things, or a sword can be used for good things. And that, one of the good things that people use a sword for is... You're right, yeah, it wouldn't break the window. So one of the ways, Gus, that a sword can be used for good is when people, kings would use a sword and they would dub people on the shoulders like this, and that would give them a higher station in life. And they would actually be kind to them with the sword and exalt them. And I wanted you guys to think about how we are kind of like a sword, right? We can be used for really bad things as people in our sin. We can be unkind to people and not nice, or we can be used kindly and very nice and very loving, right? And God is telling us this morning that he wants us to always, always, always be loving and kind, not like the people that Amos was talking to. But in 1 John chapter 4, God wants us to know, he says, let us love one another, for love is from God. And the kindness that God gives, we get to show. And we can be kind and loving to each other. Right? That's what God wants us to do, right? Yeah. Would you guys fold your hands and bow your heads and close your eyes and we'll say a prayer, okay? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for all your blessings. We thank you that you do show us how to be kind, how to give ourselves for others, and how to show your love and mercy. And Lord, remind us today that when we're unkind, it can be dangerous, Lord, but when we hear your word and we do it and show your love and kindness and forgiveness to others, you work very mightily through that. Lord, bless us this day in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you guys can go back to your seats. Thank you. Next reading for today comes from the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 2. This we will reference this section in the sermon as well as the gospel reading this morning. We begin in verse 1 of 1 Timothy 2. First of all, then, I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place that men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who confess godliness with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet, for Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to stand now if you're able as we sing together the Alleluia verse and hear the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. And then he said to another, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. The master commanded the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Now please be seated. Would you join us now in our sermon hymn for this morning? That's hymn 332, Savior of the Nations Come.
Thank you.
name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. Contrary to popular belief, especially in our world today, powerlessness is not synonymous with weakness. And while this goes against nearly every cultural norm that we have in our society today, where we've been taught that power is strength, ability is strength, there is strength in powerlessness. As Christians, we're often led by God's word to discern where we have agency or control and where we do not have it. Understanding where we have power and where we don't is not weakness, but real and sincere strength. There's even real and lasting benefits to discerning where we're powerless. If we don't drink the tea of American philosophies on this exact point, professionals say that there's decreased anxiety, increased productivity and creativity in our lives, and even personal resilience that comes from being able to know the difference between where we have power and where we're powerless in life. This is probably made the most famous by the Serenity Prayer that usually hear associated with Alcoholics Anonymous. That prayer, if you don't remember it, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. It's just true that there's some things in life that we don't have power to change. It might be medical diagnosis. Might be addiction. It might be changing circumstances swirling all around our lives, and we don't seem to have the power to stop it. The gray hair, don't make fun of my beard this morning, but keeps growing. I can't stop it. I can't stop my body from getting older, and neither can you. And we can't change how other people act or the decisions that they make. And we know it's true, but we'll often stop short of seeing powerlessness as any kind of strength and still maintain that one without power in life is weak. What if there's strength in not having power? Think of our Lord Jesus as he hung upon the cross for our salvation. Can you imagine a more powerless moment? Yet it was the strongest, was it not, for our salvation? That's kind of strange. It feels kind of backwards. And what if this reality is the same for us? What if it's the same for you and me? What if this is how God's strength really works? What if this is how we could even say it's tapped into? One clinician in the mental health world put it this way. He said, in today's world, we're so stressed and filled with anxiety all the time. And why is that? He said, information. God created us to live in community. Yeah, but a community in which we have the ability to help and serve, in which we have the ability to affect change and have influence on those around us. And yeah, maybe help some, maybe bail some out. But in today's world, we're dealing, because of information, with a whole bunch of problems that we don't have the ability to do one single thing about. And as we hear about all those problems that we're helpless against, they're stealing from the energy that we have to actually exist within our own communities and be helpful. Some think information is power, but friends, today, when we drink in so much information, it actually becomes our weakness. And we can't really see any value in powerlessness. This morning, consider the servant in our reading from Luke 16. This servant has it announced to him by his master that something's going to be taken away from him. His management. That's his ability to change things in his context. That's his power. No longer will he be able to exert his own will upon his master's estate. And like us, he sees it in the parable as a very negative thing. So what does he do? He calculates and he begins to exert what little power he has left, and thereby ends up swindling and defrauding his master. He goes to his master's accounts receivable that belong not to him, but to his master. And he leverages them selfishly by deceitful discounts unapproved by his master. When his power is stripped away, he fears, saying in verse 3, "What shall I do since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg." He sees no strength in being powerless, and neither do we. Jesus keys in on all of this, friends, at the end of our reading. He explains the parable there when he says in verse 13, very, very clearly he says it, "You cannot serve God and money." What's the meaning? Well, if you really stop and think about it, money in our world is power. It's the ability to influence. It's the ability to affect change and attain what we want. The goal of this life isn't power or money. You often hear this phrase bouncing around, right? More money, more problems. It's very true. Actual money, I don't know how often we think about this, but if you stop and think about it, money, like the thing itself, it's nothing. It's simply paper with ink that we all believe in. And I think now we'll get somewhere. It's a sign or a reflection of our hearts and our trust and our faith and our daily living object lesson of what we really hope in, if we hope in money. And in this, we end up sort of drunk on our own ability, always trying to get power for ourselves. And we believe that if we can sit at the controls of our own life, right? And we can do that if we have enough cash. So if we can sit at the controls of our own life, we can make things better for ourselves, help ourselves, bring peace and security and comfort to ourselves. But there's no lasting peace or security in our own power. Who can make, Jesus says, one hair white or black? Rather, it seems the whole thing works backwards. The truth is in the opposite. There's peace, there's lasting security, there's strength, and there's countless other blessings in, it's weird, but in powerlessness, in hope, with independence. If we're dependent on the powerful one who can truly help us. Think of how the gospel reading ends, verse 14. And if you would for me, turn over there in your bulletin and look at verse 14 with me in verse 15 too. And considering what we've been saying, where Jesus uses, or where the gospel writer uses the word money, just hear it as power, okay, instead of just money. The Pharisees, who were lovers of power or money, heard all these things and they ridiculed Jesus. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. What's exalted among men and women today? Our own ability and our own power. God's power doesn't work like ours. The cross is the perfect example of this. When we see Jesus completely powerless, all of a sudden we have a picture of true power, full dependence on our Lord, full trust in His work, full trust that He will not leave us, He will not forsake us, He will not let us down when we're in the middle of a moment that feels powerless. Now we're starting to get closer and closer to understanding what power really is. It's Him and not you. It's His love and not your dedication. It's His choice for you and not your decision. This is power from the powerful one. If you were listening this morning when we read the very uncomfortable reading from our epistle lesson about men and women and their roles and stations in the church, you may have heard, as we were reading, something that sounded very confusing to your ears. Paul was writing to the women in Ephesus, where Timothy was the pastor. And at first, when we hear those sort of instructions, right away we think that he's telling us to be powerless. But that just shows it's not the case at all. That's not what he's saying at all. In fact, he's giving to us and to the ladies true power. One that trusts in him above themselves. Instead, Jesus is teaching all of us as believers, both men and women, to forget the lies of this world, the things exalted by the world, and leave in the dust those abominations, those self-empowered, egotistical, patriarchal, and feminist things, either one, and instead to be led ahead to something far, far greater than what we understand as power. Something greater than money, something greater than personal fortitude that's achieved identity, and on into a life of understanding truth, strength from our own need. Our own powerlessness, which is our true, God-given, eternal flex. If this is hard to hear or hard to grab a hold of, rather than trying to hold on to our own ability and influence, by the way, that's what puts all the pressure on you and me. Instead of trying to hold on to that, listen to what the scriptures say in 2 Corinthians 12. This is where the Apostle Paul is struggling with his thorn in the flesh. And he asks God three times to take it away. But guess what? He ends up powerless in that. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, he says. But then the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. This is what we're saying, brothers and sisters. To be powerless is to trust in the power of God. That's the lesson of the parable. It's exactly what Jesus is teaching us as his people. What if the guy had gone to his master and admitted that he was wrong, rather than coming up with a plan that depended only on his own resourcefulness and then defrauding his master with all of his accounts? Might there have been forgiveness for him? Might there have been a second chance? Every time we see a baptism in our church, especially of an infant inside the Christian family, what the world would call powerless. Is that not the power of salvation unto those who believe? It is. When we see someone who's even lying on their deathbed, living their last moments, the world says, what need do we have for that, this powerlessness? Is that not for the believer the most powerful moments before they're with Christ? It's incredible. He's teaching us, he's showing us this powerless feeling we feel when life throws us a curveball is actually our strength. Our strength made perfect in weakness. True strength is faith. And faith seems powerless to the world, but doesn't the scripture say that it's the power of God to those who believe? See, the whole thing works backwards of the way we think. It's our trust in him that makes us strong, not our performance. Oh, thank God, right? Our faith is a superpower, far above the powers of this world. It's something the world looks at and calls weak, but we see as strength. And it's also true, this as well, that when God's word speaks to us his truth and tells us what sin is, even if we don't want to hear it, and we recognize that we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we come and we repent of our sins, the world says, weak, powerless. But right there in that moment, the power of God for our salvation. It's incredible. The man in the parable wished he could have seen it. The dependence on his master would keep him from a lot of nasty stuff. Instead, he reached into his own pocket of his own resolve, and he resisted the gracious gift his master handed him when he took away his management. And that was one of the lessons of dependence. If you're in a place in life, if you're in a circumstance in which you feel powerless against this morning, something is coming that you dread, something that you fear and you can't seem to stop it approaching and approaching, and life is changing all around you despite your best efforts and you can't seem to fix it. Hear the Lord's word to you this morning. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And consider the teaching of the Apostle Paul this morning to you ladies. Not as something that takes your power away, but as something that speaks to you true power, faith and trust in God's word and in a God who's more powerful than you, who has an agency far stronger that outweighs any attempt for us to prove ourselves. God's strength never dries up. And as men and women, we need to recognize it, that we are his creations. Jesus was the most powerful person who ever walked on the face of this earth. And yet, look at him. Look at him, Christian. He submitted to total powerlessness under the mighty hand of his Father. And to all of us, what he faced, it was unfair. It was criminal. It was shame. It was guilt. He bore it all for us on the cross. The one who had all the strength, the one who had all the power in the universe, would use it to submit to his Father for us. That's a power that confounds the whole world. I guess you could even say the power of powerlessness if you wanted to. So to all men and to all women, see how power really works. Submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Repent. Because our stewardship, yes, it also will be stripped away from us one day. And may we not trust in our own abilities or in our power or in our money or in our influence. Rather, let us say along with the scriptures, my strength is made perfect in weakness. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We invite the congregation to stand now, if you're able, as we confess our faith together this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ.
Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We now come to our time and our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Kind Father, your Son declared to us that we cannot serve you and also be devoted to our own power. Free all your baptized children from obsession with the goods of this world, that they may set their hearts on the joys of the kingdom and the inheritance that never fades. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, guide your holy church here and everywhere, that those who have been called to serve as pastors and church workers, and those preparing for and considering full-time church work, may be guarded against the assaults of the evil one, encouraged in their callings, and prepared to serve faithfully for the sake of the kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, maker of heaven and earth, you have created man and woman for different offices and with different gifts, that they may complement one another and glorify you. Grant that in our homes and congregations, your people might rejoice in the callings you have given them. Lord, in your mercy, God, our Savior, uphold Donald, our president, Jared, our governor, and all who you have placed in high positions. Lord, grant them wisdom and mercy, that they may lead peaceable and quiet lives, Lord, and that their governance would help us to live the same, to be godly and dignified in every way. Bless and protect our district president, James, our circuit visitor, Nick, and all those who serve us in that way. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, be with the sick and those who suffer. Be with those who are troubled in mind, those grieving in their sorrows. Lord, those who feel weak, show them the strength of their faith. And Lord, also with those who are dying in their last hours. Especially we name before you this morning from the altar, Teresa O'Hauer, Betty Patton's brother, the family of Betty Patton, Lord, at his passing. Gary and Joette Iser, Carly Moore, our Rocky Mountain District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, Lauren Belfer and Katie Philly and Izzy Wieskamp and Connie Hauser, Letha and Tom Hershey, Jairus Yetzi, Helen Almdale, Lauren O'Howe, Jeff Autopolic, Frank and Audra Rendon, Greg Gonzalez, Larry Reinbarger, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we bring before you silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, grant these that we've brought before you this morning and all those in need comfort in your presence, relief according to your will, and peace in their hearts by faith. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, grant that as we commune this day upon your own body and blood, our hearts would be moved to repentance and faith, and that the fruits of this sacrament would be born in lives of holiness and righteousness. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, You provide us with daily bread and with everything we need for this body and life. Lord, free us from greed and covetousness, that we might be content with your blessing and glad to share with those in need. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, our God, whose mercies are new every morning, we give you thanks and praise for all your kindness towards us. And we pray you to grant us the will and desire to worship you joyfully, to serve you faithfully, and to proclaim boldly your mighty acts of deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we offer to you these prayers, and in whom we trust for all things. To you alone be glory, honor, and worship and praise, O Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We now come to the time in our service for our offerings. As our offerings are collected and presented this morning, and we'll enjoy some instrumental music from our organist. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service and wish you the Lord's blessings on your day and your coming week. If you're gathered with us in the sanctuary, please turn over to page 10 in your bulletin as we stand, if we're able, for the service of the Holy Sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
ABC News.